Today, we welcome Dr. Dominic Robinson to the PodMD studio. Dr. Robinson is a Melbourne-trained vascular and endovascular surgeon with special interest in minimally invasive techniques in arterial and venous conditions and the use of new technologies to achieve the best outcomes for his patients with minimum risk. Dr. Robinson currently operates at the Epworth Richmond Hospital, at Warringal Private Hospital, and he also consults at the DCN Specialist Consulting Suites in Boronia and at the Kilmore and District Hospital in Kilmore. As always, all information in this podcast is intended for healthcare professionals only, and the comments are of a general nature. The information given is not intended as specific medical advice pertaining to a given patient. If you have a clinical issue with one of your patients, please seek appropriate advice from a colleague with expertise in the area. Welcome, Dr. Dominic Robinson. So can you tell me, Dr. Robinson, what exactly are varicose veins?
Varicose veins are abnormally enlarged, bulging surface veins. They are most commonly found in the thighs, calves, or feet of your patients. Spider veins, thread veins, telangiectasia, or reticular veins are tiny blue, red, or purple veins that lie just under the skin. They're predominantly a cosmetic problem and are found mainly on the legs and on the face.
And is there a typical patient that may present with varicose veins?
Varicose veins are an extremely common problem, and up to 30% of people will experience them at some stage in their life. They may present in men or women. They can present in young adults, people in their middle age, or even elderly patients. The risk factors for varicose veins include increasing age, female gender, pregnancy, family history, being overweight, or prolonged standing or sitting.
And in relation to the symptoms of varicose veins, what should the GP look for?
There's a common misconception among medical practitioners that varicose veins are a very benign condition and don't cause any symptoms at all. However, many patients will experience aching or throbbing related to their varicose veins, particularly worse if they've been standing or sitting for prolonged periods. Their symptoms can be exacerbated with warm weather. Many patients complain of swelling or heaviness in their legs. In the more severe cases, they can develop itchy rashes or inflammation on the leg related to the varicose veins, and in the most severe situations, thrombosis, bleeding, or even ulceration can occur as a complication of long-standing severe venous insufficiency.
Do all patients with varicose veins generally need treatment?
Not every patient with varicose veins will need treatment. If the veins aren't causing any significant symptoms, or there's no signs of skin damage, or any of the serious complications of varicose veins, then the patients can be reassured that the veins don't pose any significant threat to them in the short to medium term, and they can be re-referred or reassessed in the event that the veins worsen in the future.
When should patients undergo treatment?
Patients should have their varicose veins treated if they're experiencing significant symptoms, things such as aching, swelling, itching in their legs associated with the varicose veins, or if there's signs of skin damage, such as pigmentation, hemosiderin deposits, scarring, inflammation, eczema, or lipodermatosclerosis. If the patient's had one of the serious complications of varicose veins, such as bleeding, thrombosis, or ulceration, then they are hard indications for treatment of the varicose veins. There's good evidence to suggest that if they've had a venous ulcer in the past, their risk of recurrence can be reduced by having their venous insufficiency treated.
When a patient comes into your office and presents with varicose veins, how do you assess that patient?
A varicose vein assessment involves a thorough history, including the patient's previous medical history, their medications, eliciting the symptoms that are related to their varicose veins, finding out if they've had any previous treatments or significant family history of either varicose veins or venous thrombosis. An examination is then performed, including a thorough examination of their peripheral pulses, examining the legs lying and standing for the presence of visible and palpable varicose veins, including an assessment of the distribution of the varicose veins, and finally looking for the presence of any venous skin changes. A thorough venous insufficiency duplex ultrasound scan is then ideally performed by an experienced vascular sonographer.
At this point, what further investigations are necessary?
The gold standard of investigation for varicose veins is a venous insufficiency duplex ultrasound scan performed by an experienced vascular sonographer. This will identify the pattern of their venous reflux, whether it's affecting the superficial or deep system. It will identify the size of the veins, which is important when considering minimally invasive therapy, and also identify whether the vein is straight or tortuous, which can be an important consideration for determining the most appropriate treatment.
Can you tell us more about how treatment options have changed over time?
Traditionally, varicose veins were treated with surgery. Generally, this involved tying off the incompetent junction and stripping the vein out of the leg. The problem is this required a general anaesthetic. There's a risk of complications related to the incision, which is most commonly made in the groin, and often the vein stripping was associated with pain, bruising and swelling, which could last up to a month. The newer treatments are performed using ultrasound from inside of the vein. They can generally be performed under local anaesthetic in an outpatient or day surgery setting with low rates of complications, minimal pain and quick returns to work with equally effective treatment outcomes compared to surgery.
The minimally invasive treatments, can you expand on what's involved? How are they performed?
The minimally invasive treatment options for varicose veins include ablating the incompetent vein with thermal energy, gluing the vein shut with a super glue, or sclerosing the incompetent vein with a sclerosant. The thermal treatments include endovenous laser or radiofrequency ablation. In this procedure, access is obtained to the incompetent vein using ultrasound. The laser probe or the radiofrequency probe is inserted up to the incompetent junction. The vein to be treated is then surrounded with a very dilute tumescent anesthesia, which provides local anesthetic, compresses the vein around the probe, and also absorbs the heat from the probe. The tumescent is delivered via a fine needle at 5 centimeter intervals along the vein. The vein is then ablated using heat energy from either the laser or the radiofrequency probe. Using the super glue or venous seal technique, access to the vein is once again obtained under ultrasound. Cyanoacrylate glue is then directly injected into the incompetent vein using a delivery gun and compression applied with ultrasound to stick the vein closed. The advantage of this technique is that it does not require tumescent anesthesia. Procedure is done rapidly and compression stockings are not required. Finally, sclerotherapy can be performed using ultrasound and foam sclerosants. The needle is introduced directly into the competent vein and the foam sclerosant injected into the vein directly. This damages the lining of the vein and causes it to close off. Radiofrequency, endovenous laser and venous seal glue have all been demonstrated to be equally effective as surgery, but with less complication rates, faster recovery times, less pain and swelling.
After treatment is performed, what can the patient expect during recovery?
Patients will be prescribed graduated compression stockings that they'll wear for a period of approximately 3 weeks after their treatment. They can expect some mild bruising, swelling and discomfort, but should be able to rapidly return to their normal activities. Patients can return to work after several days and return to all their normal activities after a week.
And after treatment, what can the patient expect in terms of side effects, which would actually be considered normal?
Mild bruising, pain and swelling is normal. After sclerotherapy, it's very common to get some phlebitis in the veins. This is related to the chemical injury that's causing the vein to close off. It presents as red, hot, swollen and tender to touch veins, and is completely normal and indicates that the veins have been successfully treated and are closing down. It typically presents 1 to 2 weeks after the treatment and may last up to a month. Usually, Panadol, Nurofen, and compression therapy is enough to settle this down.
And in terms of success rates, how do the latest techniques and methods compare to traditional surgery?
Studies have shown that this success rates of the newer treatment for varicose veins are between 90 and 95% at 5 years. This compares favorably to surgery, but the newer treatments are associated with less pain, less bruising, and faster return to work. With any treatment for varicose veins, there remains a risk of recurrence of the varicose veins in the future. This is generally not related to failure of the initial treatment, but of degeneration in residual veins in the leg that were normal at the time of the initial treatment. The recurrence rates are very similar between surgery and the minimally invasive treatments and are generally quoted at about 20% in the long term. The NICE guidelines in the UK that have examined all the studies relating to treatment of varicose veins have recommended that the first line of treatment for patients with symptomatic varicose veins should be radiofrequency ablation or endovenous laser. For patients not suitable for thermal ablation, they should be offered ultrasound-guided injection sclerotherapy, and the last line of treatment reserved for patients who are not suitable for either of these two minimally invasive treatments should be surgery.
Dr. Robinson, what are the conditions whereby a patient would be unsuitable for these treatments?
It's very rare for a patient not to be suitable for either thermal ablation, venous seal glue, or sclerotherapy. The only real indication for surgery is a vein that is extremely large or excessively tortuous.
Thank you, Dr. Robinson, for taking the time to speak to us today about varicose veins. It's great to hear some specialist insight into this very common condition.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.